Heyo, and welcome to Dune Reads Goosebumps. I am Dune, and this is part two of A Shocker on Shock Street by the great R.L. Stine on Dune Reads Goosebumps. I had to look up which book I was reading last, even though I recorded 2 weeks ago, and then I had to look up a description of what happened, despite once again being 2 weeks ago, because I was pretty buzzed at the last one. That being said, just had a couple shots of tequila, and now I'm drinking a cocktail, trying to get the zone to read. Let the brain flow smooth, you know what I'm saying? Get weird! There's new Dune Reads Goosebumps buttons. Email me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com, and I'll send you one for free. If someone wants to give a donation to ship those, that'd be cool, because I thought it was way cheaper to do, but it turns out it's like $2 a piece to ship. And that's in the U.S. And I told people international ship, so it's going to be $6 or $7 or something to ship all those. But I'll still do them, even if no one sends me anything. They're cool. They're designed by Kyle at the old Alzado Co. A-L-Z-A-D-O company. Just Google it. You can do stuff. Buy some stuff that he's done. He's a solid dude. What else is going on? I've been crazy fucking manic. Which I don't know if it's a good or bad thing for recording. Probably a good thing, but not a good thing for life. Like, normally my emotional spectrum is, it doesn't go very up and down, and I'm just fucking all over the place, just being crazy for no reason, like, fixating on shit. Cuckoo bananas. What else? Just keeping it real, that's what I'm all about. I feel like there is other things. Oh, some asshole fucking cut off all my hair? I went to get a haircut, and I was like, yeah, just cut an inch off the top. And he cut, like, 4.5 inches. So my rad white boy house party kid and play ridiculous pompadour deal is gone. I have short hair. Had to buy 3 hats in 24 hours. Once again, manic and crazy. That being said, I'm going to dive into this, have some more of this booze. Chapter number 11. Marty? A scraping sound beside the tram made me jump. I spun around and saw Marty grinning at me from the cave floor. Gotcha! Oh. So this time he wasn't really gone. Stupid R.L. Stine and his twists that aren't really twists. That's like ending every chapter with, like, and you have cancer. Chapter 2. JK, lol. Anyway. It's terrible. Anyway. You creep, I shouted. I swung my fist, but he dodged away laughing. You're the living creep, I cried. You deliberately tried to scare me. It isn't too hard a job, he shot back. His smile faded. I climbed down to check things out. But the tram might start up any second, I told him. You know what our tour guide told us. She said we should never leave the tram. Marty squatted down and studied the tires. I think the tram is stuck on something. Maybe it came off its tracks. He raised his eyes to me and shook his head fretfully. But there aren't any tracks. Marty, get the fuck back in, dude. I pleaded. If it starts up and leaves you standing there, he grabbed the side of the car with both hands and shook it. The tram car bounced on its tires, but it didn't move. I think it broke down, Marty said softly. Your father said that some things might not work. I felt a stab of fear in my chest. You mean, we're stranded here, all by ourselves in this creepy, eepy cave? He stepped to the front of the car and squeezed between the tram and the cave wall. Then, he tried to push the tram back, shoving with both hands as hard as he could. It wouldn't budge. Rides, when they're, like, shut down like that, are so fucking cool. Like, fucking Space Mountain, I've been on where it shuts down a couple times, but never taken off the ride, but they turn on all the lights in the room, and you're like, oh, it's like a weird gymnasium with a bunch of shit on there. It's fucking bizarre to not be in space. But the coolest one was I got shut down on Splash Mountain, and it was at a place where the exit was nowhere near, and I just had to, like, walk on a path, like, in front of and behind, like, all, like, the animatronics and shit. It's really fucking cool. You know, that's all. It's creating memories. The cats are running around playing behind me. They're so cute. Anyway. Oh, wow, I muttered, shaking my head. This is horrible. This isn't any fun at all. I got back up on my knees, on the seat, and tried shouting again as loud as I could. Is anybody in here? Does anybody work here? This tram is stuck. Plunk, plunk, punk? The dripping water was my only reply. Can somebody help us? I shouted, hopefully not loud enough for Dune's neighbors to call the police. Please, can somebody help? No answer. Now what? I cried. Marty was still shoving with all his might against the front of the tram. He gave one last hard push, then gave up with a sigh. You'd better climb down, he said. We have to walk. Huh? Walk? In this creepy dark cave? No fucking way, Marty. He came around to the side of the car. You're not afraid. Are you, Aaron? Yes, I am, I confessed. A little. I glanced around the huge cavern. I don't see any exits. We'd have to walk back through those tunnels with all those spiders and worms and earthang. We can find a way out, Marty insisted. There's got to be a door somewhere. They always build emergency exits in these theme park rides. I think we should stay on the tram, I said uncertainly. If we stay here and wait, someone will come and find us. It could take days, Marty declared. Why would it take days? There's numerous adults aware they're the only kids on a tram. Just sit there and wait, idiots. Come on, Aaron. I'm going to walk. Are you coming with me? I shook my head, my arms crossed tightly in front of me. No way, Jose, I insisted. I'm staying all up in this bitch. I knew he wouldn't go off by himself. I knew he wouldn't go unless I joined him. Well, bye then, he said. He turned and started walking quickly across the cave floor. Hey, Marty. Bye. I'm not waiting here all day, bitch. See you later. He was really leaving me all alone in this stalled tram, in this scary, spooky cave. But Marty, wait! He turned back to me. Are you coming or not, Aaron? He called back impatiently. Aaron. That was unnecessary and stupid. I was J-rocking hard there. Okay, I murmured. I saw that I had no choice. I climbed over the side of the tram and dropped to the cave floor. The dirt was smooth and damp. I started walking slowly toward Marty. Hurry it up, he called. Let's get out of here. He was walking backward now, motioning for me to catch up to him. But I stopped and my mouth dropped open in horror. Don't look at me like that, he shouted. Don't stare at me as if I'm doing something wrong. But I wasn't staring at Marty. I was staring at the thing creeping up behind Marty. Chapter number 12. I struggled to warn Marty by orgasming, apparently, but only frightened grunts escaped my throat. He kept backing up as if Juvenile had told him so, backing right into the enormous creature. Aaron, get a move on. What's your problem? He demanded. I finally managed to point. Huh? Marty spun around and saw it too. Whoa! He screamed. His sneakers slid on the soft cave floor as he came running back to me. What is that thing? At first, I thought it was some kind of a machine. It looked like one of those tall steel cranes you see on construction sites, all silvery and metallic. But as it rose up on its wire-thin back legs, I saw that that bitch was alive. It had round black eyes the size of billiard balls. They spun wildly in its skinny silver skull. Two slender antennae bobbed at the top of the head. Its mouth appeared mushy, and a gray tongue darted out between long, bristly whiskers. By the way, if I pull up the actual cover of the book, it does show... Oh, fuck, am I wrong? Maybe it is metallic on the cover of the book. God damn it, never mind. Abort! Abort! I was gonna get all high and mighty and be like, look at this idiot who has the wrong thing on his book cover, but it turns out I'm just colorblind and I don't remember things. Whatever. Screw you guys. Let me just keep reading. Its long body stretched back like a folded up leaf. As it stood, it waved its front legs. short white sticks. The whole creature looked like some kind of gross stick figure. Its long back legs bent and sprang forward, bent, then sprang forward. The thick tongue swung from side to side. The black eyes stopped whirling and focused on me. Is it a grasshopper? I choked out. Marty and I had both backed up to the tram. Waving its stick arms, the creature sprang closer, its antenna circling slowly on top of its head. I think that was antennae for two, whatever. You know, no one knows how to pronounce that. Marty and I pressed our backs against the cold cave wall. We couldn't move back any further. Wait, I thought they moved back against the cart. Whatever. I think it's a praying mantis, Marty replied, staring up at it. The insect had to be at least three times as tall as us. As it moved forward, its head nearly scraped the cave ceiling. The tongue licked its soft, mushy mouth. The mouth puckered and made loud sucking sounds, like old people when they're not even eating, just sitting there. And that was Dune Does Old People Sounds for No Reason. Disgusting. My stomach lurched as if I was listening to the sounds Dune just made. The sound was so sick. The round black eyes stared down at Marty and me. The giant praying mantis, its body shining like aluminum, took another hopping step forward toward us. It started to lower its head. Whoa. What's it gonna do? I stammered, pressing my back hard against the cave wall. To my surprise, Marty suddenly started to laugh. I turned to him and grabbed his shoulder. Was he totally losing it? Marty, are you okay? Of course, he replied. He pulled away from me and took a step toward the towering insect. Why should we be scared, Aaron? It's a big robot. It's programmed to walk up to the tram. Huh? But Marty, it's all on a computer, he continued, staring up at the big head bobbling lower on its stick body. It isn't real. It's part of the ride. I stared up at the creature. Big drops of saliva rolled off its fat tongue and hit the cave floor with a spliggity-iggity splat. It's, really lifelike, I murmured. Your dad is a genius at this stuff, Marty declared. We'll have to tell him what a good job he did on the praying mantis, he laughed. Your dad said there are still some bugs, remember? This must be one of them. You're never going to top that joke, R.L. Stine. They meant, like, bugs as in some sort of issues that need to be worked out in the ride. But he was saying bug in reference to the insect. Ah, fucking great. Fucking great. Bravo. The insect rubbed its front legs together. It made a shrill whistling sound. I covered my ears. The high-pitched note made my ears ache. I was still holding my ears as a second giant praying mantis hopped out from behind a tall rock. Look, another one! Marty cried, pointing. He tugged my arm. Wow, they move so smoothly. You can't even tell they're machines. The two silvery insects chittered at one another, a sharp, shrill, metallic sound. Their black eyes twirled. Their antennae rotated rapidly, excitedly, erotically. Gobs of saliva, I almost said salvia. Ah, dude, they took salvia and they tripped balls. Saliva rolled off their tongues and splattered to the floor. The second one flashed silvery wings on its back, then quickly closed them up again. Great looking robots, Marty declared. He turned to me. We'd better get back to the tram. It'll probably start up again now that we've seen these giant bugs. The two insects chittered to each other. They hopped closer, their stick-like legs springing hard, bouncing off the smooth cave floor. I hope you're right, I told Marty. Those insects are too real, too legit to quit being robots. I want to get out of here. I started to follow him to the tram car. The first mantis leaped forward quickly. It hopped between us and the tram, blocking our path. Hey! I cried. We tried to step around it, but it took a big hop to stay in front of us. It's just a jump to the left, and then a hop to the right. It won't let us pass, I stammered. What are they, Gandalf bots?
Nailed it, dude.
Oh! I cried out as the big creature suddenly swung down and slammed its head against my chest. The powerful headbutt sent me sprawling backwards. Hey, stop that! I heard Marty shout. That machine must be broken. Its black eyes glowing, the mantis lowered its head again and gave me another hard push toward the center of the cave. Its partner quickly moved to trap Marty. It lowered its body and prepared to headbutt Marty, but Marty quickly backed away, raising his hands in front of him like a shield. He hurried to join me. There was a little, like, vibrating neck pillow my aunt got me for Christmas. Like, I think she was joking because she gave it to me and was like, look how retarded this shit is. And she was right about it being retarded, but it was sitting in front of me where I was trying to record, and I, like, couldn't get comfortable. And I'm like, why am I trying to accommodate this thing? So I just threw it away. Not throwing it away. I just threw it away from where I'm located. That being said, I heard scraping sounds, shrill chirps and chittering. I spun around to discover two more huge, ugly mantises climbing out from behind the rocks like Fallout New Vegas. Then two more, their antenna twisting excitedly, their fat gray tongues rolling around their open mouths. Marty and I huddled together in the middle of the cavern as the creatures hopped and scraped around us. Then they arose up high on their hind legs, their black eyes gleaming, their short stick arms waving. We're surrounded, I cried. All right. I had to get my head in the game. I was a little distracted here. Not by anything specific, just by like, fuck, I don't want to do this, but I need to do it. And if I force myself to continuously, it gets easier. That sounds like horrifying rape stuff. Anyway, chapter 13. The giant insects all began chittering at once. They scraped their front legs together excitedly. The shrill whistle rose through the cave like a whistle tip you'd put in your exhaust pipe in Oakland, echoing off the stone walls. They formed a circle around us, leaning back on their spindly hind legs, moving closer, tightening the circle. Their tongues whipped back and forth like Willow Smith's hair? Whatever. Thick gobs of mantis saliva hit the floor. They're out of control! Marty shrieked. What are they going to do to us? I cried, covering my ears against the excited chirps and deafening whistle. Maybe they're voice controlled, Marty shouted. He tilted back his head and shouted up at them. Stop! Stop! They didn't stop.
He didn't say Simon Says.
One of them tilted its silvery head, opening its ugly mouth wide, and spit out a black gob. It splattered onto Marty's sneaker. He jumped back. His sneaker struck the floor. He struggled to tug it free. Yuck, watch out! That black stuff, it's like glue, he cried. Thoom! Another mantis opened its mouth wide and spat out a big black gob of sticky goo. It splotched the shoulder of my t-shirt.
Black tar goo. Unlike the refined brown powder goo, that's not goo they have on the East Coast. What am I talking? Okay.
Ow! I wailed. It was so hot. It burned me right through my shirt. The other creatures chittered shrilly and scraped their hairy stick arms. Their tongues darted back and forth. They began to lower their heads to us.
Maybe the stun guns, I cried, grabbing Marty's arm. Maybe the guns will work against these bugs.
Those guns are only toys, he wailed. Thup! That's THUPPP, the pa-pa-pa. Another black gob missed Marty's foot by inches. Besides, the guns are in the tram, Marty continued, staring up at the ugly creatures. No way they'll let us get to the tram. Then, what are we going to do?
Ninji, I cried. As I asked the question, an idea flashed in my mind.
Marty, I whispered, how do you normally get rid of bugs?
Huh? Aaron, what are you talking about? You step on them, right?
Don't you usually step on them? But Aaron, he protested, these bugs aren't big enough to step on all of us.
Sorry, these bugs are big enough to step on all of us. It's worth a try, I cried.
I raised my sneaker and tromped as hard as I could on the foot of the nearest mantis. The giant insect let out a shrill hiss and hopped backward.
Beside me, Marty stomped on another insect, bringing the heel of his sneaker down hard on its spindly foot. That creature fell back too, raising its head in a shrill hiss of pain. Its eyes spun wildly, its antenna shot straight the fuck up. I stomped down hard again. With a hoarse choking sound, the big mantis fell onto its side. All four stick legs thrashed in the air. "Let's go!" I shouted in response to a question I asked myself in my head. What's Rancid's best album? Anyway, I turned and burst through the circle of insects. I didn't know where to run. I only knew I had to get away. And Dunes is in out comes the wolves like everyone else's. The cave erupted in hisses and shrill whistles, angry cluttering and croaks. I glimpsed Marty lurching after me. I ignored the echoing, ringing sounds and ran to the tram. Tram, ram, pam, sam, clam. Damn. Leaned over the side and grabbed both plastic stun guns in my arms. Then I pushed away from the tram and hurtled along the stone cave wall. Where could I go? How could I escape? The cluttering and hissing grew louder, more frantic. The tall shadows of the giant insects danced on the wall as I ran. I had the feeling that the shadows could reach out and grab me. Abra, abra, cadabra. Hey, Scarlet, I reached out and grabbed you. I grabbed my cat when I did that. She was part of the singing experience. I glanced back. Marty came running behind me at full speed. The mantises were hopping, scrabbling, limping across the dirt floor after us. Where to run? Where? And then I saw the narrow opening on the cave wall. Just a crack, really. But I dove for that bitch, slipped into it, and squeezed myself into the dark hole between the stone, and burst out the other side, into the misty daylight. Outside, I could see trees tilting down the hill. The road that led down to the studio building. Yes, outside, I made it. I felt so happy to be safe. But I didn't have long to enjoy that feeling. As I started to catch my breath, I heard Marty's terrified cry. Aaron, help! Help! They got me! They're eating me! Speaking of my cat, Scarlet, I just looked up. My girlfriend started counting her toes just for no reason because she was laying in such a position that would allow that, and she's crazy polydactyl. And I looked up the Guinness World Record for most toes on a cat, and she might have it beat by one. So I'll keep you guys updated because I totally applied to Guinness Book of World Records, and apparently they have to contact me back in like 6 weeks, and then I have to go to a vet and have them determine it. But there's a good chance your boy Dune could totally have a Guinness World Records in his house, which would make me equal to the Corolla podcast, you know? But, you know, obviously it'd be for my cat, but, you know, his is for the listeners, technically, you know? So, whatever. Point is, Dune's number one again! Yes! Yes! Go Dune! I assume you guys were all saying that with me.
Chapter 14, yeah, this is the 14th chapter. With a gasp,
I spun around. How could I help Marty? How could I get him the fuck out of the cave? To my surprise, he was leaning against the caved wall, one elbow against the rock, his legs crossed, a big grin on his round face. April Fools, he said like a total douche. By the way, I always hate April Fools because it's the day that there is no internet. It's just news is fucked. You can't get any relevant information. Just sucks. But luckily, I had a long travel day this year on April 1st, going to New Orleans, and didn't have to deal with any of that shit. It's fine. Just woke up and drank on the airplane. Good times.
Yay!
I let out an angry scream. I guess I was supposed to be angry, but it said Y-A-A-A-I-I-I-I-I, which I think is Y-E, which is not angry at all. Then I dropped the two plastic pistols and rushed at him, ready to pounce on him with my fists. You jerk! You idiot jerk loser fag! You scared me to death! He laughed and dodged to the side. As I came at him, I swung my fist and hit air. Don't play any more dumb jokes like that, idiot, I cried breathlessly. This place is too scary. Those big insects, yeah, They were scary, he agreed, his smile fading. They were so real. How do you think they made them spit like that? I shook my head. I don't know, I muttered. I had a heavy feeling in my stomach. Possibly diarrhea. Dune knows about that. I knew it was a crazy idea, but I was beginning to think those creatures we were seeing were real. Maybe I've seen too many scary movies, but the big praying mantises and the white worms and all the other creatures and monsters really seemed to be alive. They didn't move like mechanical creatures, not like Marilyn Manson's mechanical animals or Hannibal Buress's animal furnaces. They appeared to breathe, and their eyes focused on Marty and me as if they could really see us. I wanted to tell Marty what I was thinking, but I knew he would only laugh at me because I was a woman spouting her opinions. He was so sure that they were all robots and that we were seeing some awesome movie special effects. Of course, that made sense. We were on a movie studio tour, after all. By the way, I seriously had a moment. I think I've been destroyed, like, by Tumblr, like the rest of our society, where I had a moment where I was like, hey, I'm Dune. I should probably clear up the fact that I didn't mean actually anything harmful against women. I'm not a misogynist, and but do that. But first off, I am. Suck on that, bitches. And second off, if you don't think that's funny, don't listen to Dune Reads Goosebumps. Shit, I don't make money off this. In fact, I've been losing money left and right shipping these goddamn buttons. But if you want one, I'd be happy to sell them for free. Email me at dune@dunereadsgoosebumps.com. Flocka Squad. I hope Marty was right. I hoped it was all tricks. Movie magic. My dad was a genius when it came to designing mechanical creatures and building theme park rides. And maybe this, that's all we're seeing. Maybe Dad had really outdone himself this time. But the heavy feeling in my stomach wouldn't go away. I had the feeling that we were in danger. Real danger. Of shitting my pants. Just kidding, it doesn't say that. Hey, if you don't like shitting your pants jokes, fuck off, I'm edgy. Ah! God, still funnier than Emilio Rosell. Seriously, I guess not funny. He thinks he's funny, which makes him creepy. I had the feeling that something had gone wrong here. That something was out of control. I suddenly wish we weren't the first two kids to try out the tour. I knew it was supposed to be a thrill to be the only ones here, but it was too quiet, too empty, too scary. It would be so much more fun if hundreds of other people were along with us. I wanted to tell Marty all this, but how could I? With your mouth, bitch. He was so eager to prove that he was braver than me. So eager to prove that he wasn't afraid of shit. I couldn't tell him what I was really thinking. I picked up the two plastic stun guns and handed him one. I don't want to carry them both. He tucked the barrel of his gun into his jeans pocket. Hey, Aaron, look where we are. He cried. He jogged past me, his eyes straight ahead. Check it out! He started running across the grass. I turned and started to follow him. I didn't want him to get too far ahead. The sky had darkened. The sun had disappeared behind a heavy blanket of clouds. Wisps of gray fog hung low in the cool air. It was nearly evening. We crossed the road and stepped into a town. I mean, it was a movie set of a town. A small town with low, one- and two-story buildings, small shops, and a country-looking general store. Possibly a Cracker Barrel. Big, old houses in the block beyond the stores. By the way, I've only been to a Waffle House now, like, twice, but all I want to do is move somewhere where there's Waffle Houses. That's all. I don't like Denny's. I don't like IHOP. I guess that's the only two big breakfast chains. I do like the Broken Yolk, but that's just San Diego. But the point is, I want to move somewhere with Waffle Houses, just so I can eat a Waffle House and become morbidly obese.
Once again, like Emilio.
Do you think this is a set they really use in the movies? I asked, hurrying to catch up to Marty. He turned to me, his dark eyes flashing with excitement. Don't you recognize it, idiot? Don't you know where you are? And then my eyes fell on the crumbling old mansion, half hidden by the twisted trees. And across from it, I saw the crooked picket fence that ran around the old cemetery. And I knew we were on Shock Street! Because the book's called A Shocker on Shock Street, and they're in the Shock Street, and there's movies called Shock Street.
Wow, I exclaimed, spinning around, trying to take it all in at once like a big black dildo.
This really is Shark Street! This is where they filmed all of the movies.
It doesn't look the way I imagined it, Marty said. It looks even scarier. He was right.
As the sky darkened to evening, long shadows fell over the empty buildings. The wind made a moaning sound as it swept around the corner. Marty and I made our way down the street, trying to see Earthang. We kept crossing from side to side like a confused chicken, peering into a dark, dust-covered shop window, then running to examine the front yard of a run-down old mansion.
Check out that empty lot, I said, pointing.
That's where the Mad Mangler hung out. Remember? In Shocker 3? Remember he mangled everyone who walked by?
This is my empty parking lot. Anyone who walks by here is gonna get mangled.
Of course I remember, Marty snapped. He stepped into the empty lot.
Tall weeds bent low, blowing by the moaning wind. Shadows moved against the fence at the back. I stayed on the sidewalk and squinted hard, trying to see what cast the shadows. Did the Mad Mangler still lurk back here? The lot was totally empty. So how could there be a tall, shifting shadow on the fence?
Marty, come back, I pleaded.
It's getting dark.
He turned back. Scared, Aaron? Are you scaring, Aaron? It's just an empty lot, I told him. Just keep walking.
People always thought it was just an empty lot, Marty replied in a low, scary voice.
Sorry, I was playing with a little container for like a micro USB thing, and I realized I was snapping it and making annoying sounds, so I'm putting it down. But now I want something to fidget with.
Marty replied in a low, scary voice, until the Mad Mangler jumped out and got his motherfucking mangle on.
He let out a long, evil laugh. Marty, you're losing it, I murmured, shaking my head. He came trotting out of the lot. He did a lot trot. He did the lot to trot.
He was crossing the street. I wish I had a camera, he said. I'd really like a picture of me standing in the Mangler's lot.
His eyes lit up, or even better.
He didn't even finish his fucking sentence. Instead, he took off running at full speed. Hey, wait up, I cried.
A few seconds later, I saw where he was headed. The old cemetery. That was a weird delivery due to a burp.
He ran up to the cracked and peeling wooden gate and turned back at me. Even better, I'd like a photo of me standing in the cemetery, the actual set where they filmed Cemetery on Shock Street.
We don't have a camera, I called from the street. Get away from there. Are you like me where the better the camera in your pocket gets, the less you take pictures? Like, it was like a fun novelty for a while, and now I'm like, I just want to experience life, and I don't want to take pictures of everything. That being said, if you want to see what I do take pictures of, you can follow me at Dune _, that's an underline, M, at Instagram. It's mostly pictures of my pets. That's not true. It's mostly pictures of me getting drunk.
He ignored me and started to open the gate. The bottom was stuck in the grass.
Marty tugged hard.
Finally, the gate started to pull open, creaking and groaning as it moved. Marty, let's go, I insisted. It's getting late. Dad is probably waiting for us, wondering what happened to us. But this is part of the tour, he insisted. He tugged the heavy gate open just wide enough to squeeze inside the cemetery. It probably looked like the cemetery from Return of the Living Dead, which I really like.
Marty, please don't go in, I begged. I ran up beside him.
Aaron, it's just a movie set, he replied. You didn't used to be such a total bitch.
I just have a bad feeling about this cemetery, I stammered.
A very bad feeling. It's part of the tour, he repeated.
But this gate was closed, I cried.
It was closed so that people don't go in. That's the entire reason that people shut doors. That and insects and bugs getting in. But it's a cemetery, so it's not roofed in, so bugs could get in either way, so they closed it to not let people get in. Duh!
That was unnecessary.
I raised my eyes to the cemetery. I saw the old graves tilting up from the ground like crooked teeth.
I have such a bad feeling
Marty ignored me. He tugged the gate open a little wider and slipped into the cemetery. Marty, please! I gripped the low fence tightly with both hands and watched him. He took 3 steps toward the old graves. Then his hand shot straight up in the air and he dropped out of sight. Aw, no, he probably got slip and slided.
Chapter number 15, yeah!
I stared into the darkness, blinking hard. I swallowed once. I swallowed twice. Boy, would it not be the last time I swallowed. I couldn't believe that he was gone, that he had vanished so quickly. The wind moaned between the jagged, tilting gravestones. Marty? My voice came out in a choked whisper. Marty! I gripped the picket fence so hard my hands ached.
Well, don't grip it so hard, idiot. Don't be such a dummy.
I knew I had no choice. I had to go in there and see what had happened to him. I took a deep breath and pushed myself through the opening. The ground was soft. My sneakers sank into the tall grass. I took 1 step, then another. I stopped when I heard Marty's voice. Hey, be careful!
Huh?
I gazed around. Where are you? Down here. I peered down into a deep, dark hole, an open grave. Marty stared up at me. He had dirt on his cheeks and down the front of his t-shirt. He raised both hands. Help me out, I fell. I had to laugh. He looked ridiculous, standing in that hole, covered in dirt, his face all brown like a Guatemalan. It's not funny. Help me out, he repeated impatiently. I warned you, I said. I had a bad feeling. It smells down here, Marty complained. He probably made a poopy in his dewy pants. I leaned down. What does it smell like? Like dirt. Get me out! Okay, okay. I grabbed his hands and tugged. He kicked his feet, digging the toes of his shoes into the soft dirt. A few seconds later, he was back on the ground, frantically brushing himself off. That was cool, he declared. Now I can tell people I was in a grave in the Shock Street Cemetery. A chill ran down my back as the wind picked up. Let's get out of here, I pleaded. Something gray floated silently between 2 old gravestones. A wisp of fog? A gray cat? Check out these graves, Marty said, still brushing dirt off his jeans. They're all cracked and faded. I can barely read the names. That's so cool. And look how they sprayed cobwebs over the row of stones. Creepy, isn't it? It said, uh-huh, but I changed it to in it for our foreign listeners. Do I sound weird to the foreign listeners? Because you guys talk funny and I don't. I talk right. Yeah? All right, cool. Marty, can we go? I begged again. Dad is probably worried by now. Maybe the tram started up again. Maybe we can find it. He ignored me. I watched him lean over a tombstone to read the words cut into it. Jim Socks, he read. 1840 to 1887, he laughed. Jim Socks, get it? And look at the next one. Bend over, sit up. These are all funny. Wait, it actually says bend over in the book. It doesn't say things like Mike Rackhabit or Mike Hunt, but bend over is in a Goosebumps book.
That's implying someone's about to get in the pooper.
I laughed. Bend over and sit up were pretty funny. My laugh was cut short when I heard a soft cry from the back of the graveyard. I saw another gray wisp dart behind a tombstone. I held my breath and listened hard. The wind whistled through the tall grass. Rising above the wind came another shrill cry. A cat? I wondered. Is the cemetery filled with cats or is it a child? Marty heard it too. He moved down the row of stones until he stood beside me. His dark eyes glowed excitedly. This is so cool. Did he hear the sound effects? There must be a speaker hidden in the ground. Another shrill cry. That's a shrill cry in my brain, apparently. Definitely human. A girl? I shivered. Marty, I really think we should get back to my dad. We've been here all afternoon, and... But what about the rest of the tour? He argued. We haven't seen shit. I heard another cry. Louder. Closer. A cry of terror. I tried to ignore it. Marty was probably right. The cries had been coming from a loudspeaker somewhere. How can we finish the tour? I demanded. We're supposed to stay on the tram, remember? But the tram... Oh! I cried out as a hand shot up from the ground in front of us. A green hand. Its long fingers unfolded as if reaching for us. Kind of like the cover of the Evil Dead DVDs. Whoa! Marty cried, stumbling back. Another green hand shot up from the dirt, then two more, once again like Return of the Living Dead. Hands reached up from the graves. I let out a frightened gasp. Hands were busting through the grass. Hands all around us, their fingers twisting and arcing, reaching out. Marty stopped to laugh. This is totally awesome, just like in the movie. He stopped laughing as a hand poked up beside him and went right in his pooper. Aaron, help! It's in my pooper! He cried. Oh, wait, never mind, it's just on my ankle. But I couldn't help. Two hands were wrapped around my ankles and were pulling me down, down into the grave. Chapter 16. Come down, a soft voice moaned. Come down with us. No, I shrieked. My arms thrashed the air. I tried to kick, but the hands gripped me so tightly, so firmly. Just like a hug from your dad. My whole body frantically jerked and tilted back and forth as I struggled not to fall. If I fell, I knew they would grab my hands too and pull me face down into the fucking earth. Come down. Come down with us. This isn't a joke, I thought, obviously not referring to Dune's life. These hands are real. They are really trying to pull me underground. Help! Oh, help! I heard Marty's cry. Then I saw him fall. He toppled to the grass, onto his knees. Two hands gripped his ankles. It's probably his. He's used to doing that. Two more green hands poked up from the dirt and moaned. No! I shrieked, tugging wildly, desperately. To my surprise, I pulled free. One foot sank into the soft grass. I glanced down. My sneaker had slid off. The hands still gripped the sneaker, but my foot was free. With a happy cry, I bent down, pulled off the other sneaker. I was free now. Free! Breathing hard, I bent and quickly pulled off my socks. I knew it would be easier to run barefoot. I tossed the socks away too. Then I hurried over to Marty. Wait, she knows that she got out of that by pulling her feet out of her shoes, and then she just randomly took off her socks. Wouldn't that give her an extra opportunity to pull free of the grabbing devil hands? Come on, let's think this through, shall we? He was flat on his stomach. Six hands held him down, tugging at him, tugging hard. His whole body twisted and shook, like that song from like the 50s. He raised his head when he saw me. Aaron, help me! He gasped. I dropped to my knees, reached for his sneakers, and tugged them off. They were Yeezy 3s, so we couldn't just throw them away. The green hands gripped the sneakers tightly. Marty kicked his feet free and tried to climb to his knees. I grabbed a green hand and pulled it off his wrist. The hand slapped at me. A cold, hard slap that made my hand ring with pain. Ignoring it, I grabbed for another green hand. Marty rolled over, rolled free, jumped to his feet, gasping, trembling. His mouth hanging open. His eyes were all dark and bulgy and shit. Sorry. I'm gonna need another water and a third cocktail really quick, which means after this I need to ease down on the drinking because the girlfriend's gonna get home and I can't be like, "Fias goosebumps and that's why, shut up," because apparently that's how I talk to my girlfriend now. Ignoring it, I grabbed for another green hand. Marty rolled over, rolled free, jumped to his feet, gasping, trembling, his mouth hanging open, his dark eyes bulged. "Your socks," I cried breathlessly. "Pull them off. Hurry." He clumsily tore them off his feet. The hands grabbed wildly for us. Dozens of hands stretched up from the dirt. Hundreds of hands reaching up for us from the tall graveyard grass.
Come down with us.
The voice moaned.
Come down, bring snacks. Kettle chips are preferred over regular chips.
A dozen other soft voices called from beneath the ground. Marty and I froze. The soft, sad voices seemed to hypnotize me. My legs suddenly felt as if they were made of stone.
Come down, kettle chips.
And then I saw a green head pop up from the dirt. And then another head, another bald green heads with empty eye sockets and open toothless mouths. I saw shoulders, then arms, more heads poking up, bright green bodies pulling up from beneath the ground.
Marty, I choked out, they're coming after us.
Chapter.
Oh, what, you think I'm just not gonna eat kettle chips after talking about them that long? Get out of your fucking mind, these are delicious.
17.
You wash this down with a little cocktail.
The cemetery rang out with grunts and groans as the ugly green figures pulled themselves up from the ground. I took one last glance at their tattered, shredded clothing as their blackened eye sockets and their toothless, grinning mouths, and then I ran like a motherfucker. Marty and I both ran
so far away.
Without saying a word, side by side, we darted across the tall grass between the rows of crooked tombstones where you would find tons of Pokemans. My heart thudded in my chest, my head throbbed, my bare feet sank into the cold dirt, slipped on the tall, damp grass. Marty reached the wooden gate first, because he's a dude and he runs quicker. He was running so hard, he banged into the fence. He let out a cry. Then he slipped through the gate onto Shock Street. I could hear moans and groans.
Those go hand in hand. They're probably the same thing anyway.
And eerie calls of the disgusting green people behind me. But I didn't look back. I dove for the gate, squeezed through, then I shoved it shut behind me. Running into the street, I stopped to catch my breath. I bent over and pressed my hands against my knees. My side ached due to cirrhosis. I sucked in breath after breath, wishing for a menthol cigarette. "Don't stop," Marty cried frantically. "Aaron, keep going." I took a deep breath and followed him down the street. Our bare feet slapped on the pavement.
I guess that doesn't sound like bare feet. There we go. I'm slapping my thighs because I like to record without pants on.
I could still hear the moans and calls behind us, but I was too scared to glance back. If only I had those sunglasses they used to try to sell to kids that had mirrors facing behind them. God damn it! Why didn't I sell enough magazines to earn one of those? Marty, where is everybody? I called breathlessly. Shock Street was empty. The houses and shops all dark. Shouldn't there be people around? I wondered. This is a big movie studio. Where are the people who work for Shocker Studios?
They're probably on the casting couch.
Where are the people who work on the studio tour? Why isn't anyone around to help us?
Something is wrong. Marty choked out, running at full speed.
We passed the Horror Hardware Store and Shock City Electronics.
It's funny, I guess. That's funny.
The robots are out of control or something. It's like Itchy and Scratchy Land. At last, Marty agreed with me. He finally agreed that something was terribly wrong.
We've got to find your dad, Marty said, running across the street to the next block of dark houses. He meant it's just houses that were dark. It's not that dark people lived in them. They're not Section 8 houses or anything, okay? Don't be racist.
We've got to tell them there's a problem. We have to find the tram, I called, struggling to keep up with him. How?
Damn, that cocktail's done. And then there were some shots and a different cocktail. This is probably going to get pretty heavy soon.
My bare foot came down on something hard. A rock or something. Pain shot up my leg, but I hobbled on like a hobbit. If we can get back on the tram, it will take us back to Dad, I called. There has to be a way out of Shock Street, Marty said. It's only a movie set. We ran past a tall mansion with two turrets. It looked like an evil castle. I remember it. I didn't remember it from any of the Shocker movies. No remembering. No remembro. Beyond the mansion stretched a big, empty dirt lot. At the back of the lot stood a low brick wall, just a foot or two taller than Marty and me. Cut through here, I told Marty. If we can climb up on that wall, we can probably see the real studio road. I was just guessing, but it was worth a try. We both turned into the empty lot. My bare feet thudded over the soft dirt. The dirt felt cold and wet. As we crossed the field, our feet tossed up big clumps of mud. Clumps of mud, that's my favorite Christian rock band. I pumped my legs harder as the mud grew softer. My bare feet were sinking into it as I ran. The cold mud rose over my ankles. Marty and I were nearly to the brick wall when we ran into a sinkhole. Yay! We both uttered hoarse cries as the ground gave way beneath us. The mud made a sick splash as we sank. I tossed up both hands, tried to grab onto something, but there was nothing to grab. The mud oozed around me as if it wanted to turn us into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Over my ankles, my legs, up over my knees, it sucked me down, I thought. I tried to cry out again, but panic choked my throat. I glimpsed Marty beside me. His arms were waving wildly. His whole body twisted and squirmed as he sank. The mud was up over his waist, and he was still sinking fast. I kicked hard, tried to raise my knees, but I was trapped. Trapped and dropping down. Down into the dark, wet ooze. My mud-covered arms slapped against the surface. I couldn't stop myself. The mud bubbled over my neck, and I was sinking fast. This is taking hours, and I wanna finish it. Chapter 18, yeah. I held my breath. The mud rose up to my chin as if I was in some sort of septic tank. In a second, it would be over my head, I thought. A sob escaped my throat. The mud crept higher up over my chin. I started to spit as it reached my mouth, and then I felt something grab my arm. Strong hands slipped under my arms. I felt the hands slide in the mud. They gripped me harder. I felt myself being tugged up, tugged by someone very strong. The mud made a loud plop as I rose up, like poo-poo falling into the toilet. I felt the mud roll down my chest, my legs, my knees, my toes. And then I was standing on the surface, still held by the two powerful hands. Marty, I called, tasting the sour mud on my lips. Are you? I'm up. I heard his hoarse reply, Aaron, I'm okay. The strong hands finally let go. My legs trembled. I wobbled, but remained standing. I turned to see who had rescued me and stared into the glowing red eyes of a wolf. Oh my goodness, it's Tyler the Creator. A human with the face of a wolf. Like that guy that's in the Mexican sideshow. Clawed hands covered in black fur, a long brown snout curved in an open toothy grin, sharp pointed ears above a thick tuft of black wolf fur. A female. She wore a silvery catsuit.
Catsuit? Catsuit on a dog? What kind of crazy world is this, Arlstein?
It's sleek and tight-fitting. As I stared in shock, she opened her mouth in a throaty growl. I recognized her voice at once. Wolf Girl!
Obviously, you should have recognized Wolf Girl right away. I turned to see her companion, Wolf. You guys ready? Boy! He had pulled Marty out of the mud hole. Marty's whole body was caked in mud. He tried to wipe his face, but only managed to smear more mud over his cheeks. You saved us, thank you, I cried, finally finding my voice. The two werewolves uttered low growls in reply. We lost the tram, I explained to Wolf Girl. We need to get back, you know, back to where the ride began. She let out a sharp growl. Ow, that hurt my throat. I could never be Wolf Girl. Even though I'm hairy, I'd have to tuck it, and then I couldn't run. Then, she snapped her toothy jaw hard. Please, I begged, can you help us get back to the tram? Or can you take us to the main building? My dad is waiting for me there. Wolf Girl's red eyes flashed. She growled again. We know you're just actors, Marty blurted out shrilly. But we don't want to be scared anymore. We've had enough scares for today, okay? The two werewolves growled. A long white string of saliva drooled over Wolf Boy's black lips, as if you were some sort of Riri. Something inside me snapped. I told you lost it. Stop it! I screamed, just stop it. Marty's right. We don't want to be scared now. So stop the werewolf act and help us. The werewolves growled again. Wolf Girl snapped her jaws. A long pink tongue slid out, and she licked her jagged teeth hungrily. That's enough, I shrieked. Stop the act. Stop it. Stop it. I was so angry, so furious, so fast, so furious. Seven. I reached up with both hands. I grabbed the fur on the sides of Wolf Girl's mask, and I tugged the mask with all my strength. Tugged. Tugged with both hands as hard as I could, and felt real fur and warm skin. Notice I said warm and not warm, like an idiot.
Chapter number 19.
Oh! I let out a gasp and jerked my hands away. The werewolf's red eyes glowed. Her black lips parted. Once again, her tongue flicked hungrily over yellow pointed teeth. My whole body trembled as I backed up against the brick wall.
Marty, I stammered, it's not an act,
huh? Marty stood stiffly in front of Wolf Boy, his eyes wide in his mud-caked face. They're not actors, I whispered. Something is wrong here. Something is terribly wrong. Marty's mouth dropped open. He took a step back. Both werewolves uttered low growls. They lowered their heads as if preparing to attack.
Do you believe me? I cried. Do you finally believe me? Don't stop believing.
Marty nodded. He didn't say shit. I think he was too terrified to talk. Saliva poured from the wolves' mouths. Their eyes glowed like fire in the darkness. Their furry chests began to heave in and out. Their breaths became loud and hoarse. I have a furry chest, and my breath is becoming hoarse. Wow, maybe I'm a werewolf. I guess that wasn't a good werewolf sound at all. I jumped back against the wall as both werewolves raised their heads and let out long, frightening howls. What were they going to do to us? I grabbed Marty and tugged him up to the wall. Up! I cried. Get up! Maybe they can't reach us up here. Can't werewolves jump like 20 feet? I've seen Harry Potter. Those werewolves are badass. Marty leaped high, stretching up his arms. His hands slapped the top of the wall, then slid back down. He tried again. He bent his knees and jumped. Grabbed for the top of the wall and slipped the fuck back down.
I can't, he wailed. It's too high and I've had too many Hostess snack cakes.
We've got to, I shrieked. I turned back and saw the two werewolves lean back on their hind legs and then spring up. They were snarling and growling now, thick gobs of saliva running down their snapping teeth. Up, I cried. As Marty leaped for the wall again, I reached down and grabbed his muddy foot. Up! I gave him a hard boost. His hands thrashed the air, caught the top of the brick wall, held on. His bare feet kicked the air, but he held on and tugged himself up.
On his knees, on the top of the wall, he turned and grabbed my hands. He pulled and I jumped. I struggled to scramble up beside him. Ah, not so easy now, bitch. You shouldn't tell people to do things that you can't do yourself, okay? But I couldn't get my knees up. I couldn't get them onto the wall. My bare feet thrashed wildly. My knees scraped against the wall as Marty tugged. I can't do it. I can't. I gasped. Why doesn't someone yell up at you 1,000 times that Dune has to read? Keep trying, Marty choked out. He tugged my arms, tugged with all his strength. I was still struggling as the two werewolves leaped.
Hi, Yoda.
This is the 20th chapter, and my cat is an asshole, and I don't know what he's doing, but he's fucking shit up, and I'm probably gonna have to distract myself from doing this to yell at him or make him stop doing stuff. My other cat's here too, I just realized, and she's watching chapter 20. I heard the snap of jaws. I felt hot breath on the bottom of my foot. The two werewolves thudded against the wall. With a desperate cry, I sprang to the top. Gasping for air, I pressed myself flat against the bricks. I raised my head in time to see the two snarling werewolves leap again. Jaws snapped in front of my face. Red eyes gleamed hungrily at me. No! With a cry, I scrambled to my feet. The werewolves raised their heads in angry howls and prepared to attack again. These werewolves are shitty at hunting. There's no way they can catch a deer if they can't catch a tubby kid that's on a fucking wall that's just sitting there. Whatever.
No! With a cry, I scrambled to my feet. The werewolves raised their hand under attack again. Marty and I stood, pressed close together, staring down at them. They jumped. Their claws scraped against the bricks. The shrill screech sent out chills down my back. Their teeth snapped down. They dropped, preparing another leap, snarling excitedly.
We can't stay up here forever, Marty cried. What do we do? I squinted into the darkness. Was that the studio road on the other side of the wall? Too dark to tell. The werewolves leaped again. Jagged teeth scraped against my ankle. I jumped back. Really, cat?
I jumped back, nearly toppled off the wall. Marty and I bumped into each other, our eyes on the two growling creatures preparing another leap. The gun! The plastic stun gun! Mine had fallen from my hand. It was probably buried in the mud hole, but my eyes fell on Marty's gun. Its handle poked out from his jeans pocket.
He put it in the jeans pockets earlier, I remember that one, because I thought it was going to say jeans jacket and or whatever, and I was going to make fun of it, doesn't matter.
Without saying a word, I grabbed the handle and tugged the plastic pistol from Marty's jeans.
Yeah. Tug Marty's plastic pistol.
Hey, he cried. Aaron, what are you doing? Are you tugging my plastic pistol in my jeans?
They gave us the guns for a reason, I sexplained, shouting over the frightened howls of the two werewolves. Maybe this will stop them.
It's only a toy, Marty stammered. I didn't give a shit. It was worth a try. Maybe it would frighten them. Maybe it would hurt them. Maybe it would chase them away.
I raised the plastic gun, aimed it at the two werewolves, aiming it as the two werewolves made another leap attack. 1, 2, 3, fire. I squeezed the trigger. Again, again, again! The last one had an exclamation point. I'm going to just keep reading this. I gotta drink more though.
Chapter 21. The gun made a loud buzzing sound. It shot out a beam of yellow light, like some sort of devil's peepee. Yes, I thought. Yes, I prayed. The light will stop them. It's a stun gun, right? The buzzing sound in the bright light will stun them. It will freeze them in a place so Marty and I can make our escape. I squeezed the trigger hard, again, again. It didn't stop the werewolves. It didn't even seem to surprise them. They leaped higher. I felt sharp claws scrape my leg. I cried out in pain. Ow, my leg hurts. Oh, God, it hurts so bad. And the plastic gun flew out of my fucking hand. It clattered against the top of the wall, then slid to the ground. Just a toy. Marty was right. It wasn't a real weapon. It was just a stupid toy. Look out! Marty opened his mouth in a shrill shriek as the snarling creatures made another high leap at the wall. Haven't they made like 8 leaps so far? Why don't they get them or give up? Claws scraped the brick wall and held on.
Red eyes glared up at me. Hot wolf breath tingled my skin. Ah! My arms flew up as I lost my balance. I struggled to stay up, but my knees bent, my feet slipped. I grabbed for Marty and missed and toppled off, landing hard on my back on the other side of the wall. Gazing up in horror, I saw Marty leap down beside me as another cat tried to climb Dune's chair. What is up with these cats, am I right? The two werewolves were on top of the wall now. They glared down at us, red eyes glowing, tongues out and breathing hard, like inspiration for Gene Simmons of Kiss. I'm glad I didn't say Richard Simmons, which I was afraid of saying and I shouldn't have pointed it out. Preparing to pounce, Marty dragged me to my feet. Run! He cried hoarsely. His eyes wide with panic, the werewolves growled above us. The ground tilted. I felt dizzy, a little dazed from my fall. We can't outrun them, I moaned. I heard a rumbling sound, a clatter. Marty and I both turned and saw two yellow eyes glowing against the dark sky. It's probably the tram. It's probably not a creature. Yellow eyes of a creature roaring towards us. No, not a creature. As it drew nearer, I could make out its long, sleek shape. The tram! Ah, suck on that, bitch! Yeah, R.L. Stein, I knew what you were doing. Aw, yeah, it's the tram. It's not a monster, doing so right. Yeah! The tram bounced over the road behind yellow headlights, coming closer, closer, yes! I turned to Marty. Did he see it too? He did. Without saying a word, we both began running to the road. The tram was rolling fast. Somehow we had to climb on it. We had to. Behind us, I heard the werewolves howl. Ow! I heard a hard thump. Then another as they dropped off the wall. The twin yellow headlights of the tram swept over us. The werewolves snarled and howled angrily as they chased after us. A few feet ahead of me, Marty was hurtling forward, his head down, his legs pumping furiously. The tram bumped closer. Closer. I was going to do a song closer, but then I realized I can't beatbox, and I don't know how that song goes. The howling werewolves were inches behind us. You know, there's like Howling Wolf, the musician. It would be cool if he had a son named Howling Werewolf. That's all. I could almost feel their hot breath on the back of my neck. A few more seconds, and Marty and I would make our jump. I watched the tram speed around a curve, the yellow headlights washing over the dark road. I kept my eyes on the front of the car and took a deep breath, prepared to jump. I really hope that at the end it's not like, this is how the whole thing was supposed to go. Why'd you guys get off the tram? Because that doesn't make sense, because people have to pee-pee and poo-poo, and you can't have a tram ride that lasts like 6 hours. Tram ride. I sound like a fucking Canadian. And then Marty fell. I saw his hands shoot out. I saw his mouth open wide in surprise. In horror, he stumbled over his own bare feet and dropped to the ground, landing hard on his stomach. I couldn't stop in time. I ran right into him, stumbled over him, and fell heavily on top of him, and watched the tram speed right past us. Fuck. Chapter number 22. I got a piece of bacon that I made for breakfast this morning, and now Franklin's suddenly interested in his father and his goosebumps reading. How you doing, Franklin? Want to say hi? You want to say hi? You seem like you just want to say that you're going to steal my bacon. Ow! The two werewolves uttered long howls of triumph. Sorry, I didn't know what the howls were for. That didn't sound like triumph at all. Let me try again after I set Franklin down. Ow! My heart pounding, I scrambled to my feet. Get up. I frantically pulled Marty up by both arms. We took off after the tram, our bare feet pounding the hard road. The last car bounced a few feet ahead of us. Franklin, would you like this little piece of bacon? There you go. I reached it first, shot out my right hand, grabbed the back of the car, kind of like in Terminator 2. With a desperate leap, I hoisted myself up, up, and into the last seat. Struggling to catch my breath, I turned back to find Marty running behind the tram. His hands reached for the back of the tram car. I can't make it, he gasped. Run. You've got to, I screamed.
This is just like in so many movies where people try to get onto like a boxcar so they can be a hobo on a train and then they miss it. I don't know why that was adding anything to this. I wish I could edit this out. Well, I could edit it out, but you guys know how lazy I am. Come on. Anyway, behind him, I can see the werewolves scampering close behind. Marty put on a burst of speed. He grabbed the back of the car with both hands. It dragged him for several feet until he swung himself around and dropped into the seat behind me. Yes, I thought happily. We made it. We got away from those howling werewolves. Or did they? Would they jump into the tram after us? I don't know. If they thought you're food, I don't know anything about Wolf Boy and Wolf Girl. You've seen the movie. What are their personalities like? I spun around, my whole body trembling, and I watched the werewolves fade into the distance. They ran for a while, then they gave up. Wait, how come they run for a while and give up, and then they jumped dozens of times to try to catch him on that wall? That doesn't seem like their personality. They seem very persistent. They both stood in the road, hunched over in defeat, watching us escape. Escape. What a wonderful word, especially when you don't pronounce it escape like Dune hates. Marty and I grinned at each other. I slapped him a high five. Now watch Dune demonstrate. We were both breathing hard, covered in mud. My legs ached from running. My bare feet throbbed. I'm going to give Franklin a little more bacon just because it makes me happy when he's near me. My heart still thudded from the frightening chase. But we had escaped. And now we were safe in the tram, on our way back to the starting platform, back to Dad. We've got to tell your dad that this place is fucked up, Marty said breathlessly. Something is horribly wrong here, I agreed. Those werewolves, they weren't fucking around, Marty continued. They were real, Aaron. They weren't actors, okay? It's not like we got a hairy Armenian dude to play a werewolf and didn't shave him. They're actually werewolves. I nodded. I felt so glad that Marty finally agreed with me. And he wasn't pretending to be brave anymore. He wasn't pretending that it was all robots and special effects. We both knew that we had faced real dangers. Real monsters. Ah! Real monsters. Something was terribly wrong at Shocker Studios. Dad had told us he wanted a full report. Well, he was going to get one. I settled in the back seat, trying to calm down, but I shot straight up again when I realized we weren't alone. Marty, look! I pointed to the front of the tram. We aren't the only passengers. In fact, every tram car appeared to be filled with people as Dune got a text. What's going on? Marty murmured. Your dad said we were the only ones on the tour and now the tram is ah! Marty never finished his sentence. His mouth fell open in a gasp. His eyes bulged open wide. I gasped too. The other passengers in the tram all turned around at the same time and I saw their grinning jaws, their dark, empty eye sockets, their gray bones of their skulls. Meth addicts. Oh, sorry, skeletons. The other passengers were all grinning skeletons.
Grim grinning ghosts come out to be skeletons.
Their jaws opened in dry laughter, cruel laughter that sounded like the wind screeching through bare trees. Bones rattled and clattered as they raised their yellowed skeleton hands to point at us. Their skulls bobbed and bounced as the tram carried us faster, faster through the darkness. Marty and I slumped low in the seat, trembling, staring at the grinning skulls, the pointing fingers. Who were they? How did they get on this tram? And where were they taking us? Probably to a skeleton party. So they can all start boning. God, you're good, Dune.
Chapter number 24. My legs trembled as if I had to pee-pee. My heart pounded as if I had to pee-pee. But somehow, I managed to stand up on the seat as if I were pee-peeing in a public bathroom. I took a deep breath, held it, closed my eyes, and jumped. I landed hard on my side and rolled. I saw Marty hesitate. The tram bounced. Marty dove over the side. He hit the ground on his stomach, rolled onto his back, and kept rolling, rolling, rolling. Limp Bizkit!
I came to a stop under a tree and turned to the castle in time to see the tram plunge into the stone wall. Without a sound, the first tram car hit the castle wall and flew through it. Silently, I could see the skeletons bobbing and bouncing like skeletons do, and I saw the next car, and the next all shoot into the castle wall and disappear through it without making a sound. A few seconds later, the tram disappeared. A heavy silence fell over the road. The spotlights on the castle wall dimmed.
Aaron, are you okay? Marty called weakly. He calls like he climbs up walls, weakly, because he sucks.
I turned to find him on his hands and knees on the other side of the road. I scrambled to my feet. I had scraped my side, but it didn't hurt too bad. I'm okay, I told him. I pointed to the castle. Did you see that shit?
No, I fucking saw it, Marty replied, standing up slowly.
But I don't believe it, he stretched. How did the tram go through the wall? Do you think the castle isn't really there? That it's like an optical illusion? Some kind of trick? Maybe they're using magnets. I don't understand how magnets work. And I don't trust scientists.
There's an easy way to find out, I said, referencing the castle and not the ICP song.
We walked side by side on the road. The wind rustled the trees, making them whisper all around us. The pavement felt cold under my bare feet. We've got to find my dad, I said quietly. I'm sure he can explain everything to us.
I hope so, Marty muttered.
We stepped up the castle wall. I stuck out both hands, expecting them to go right through. My hands slapped solid stone.
What the fuck? Wait 1 second.
Da-da-da-da, you gotta jump.
Did I miss a whole chapter about them jumping? Oh, whatever. They jumped off the tram cars. Does that matter? You don't give a care. I think I did seriously skip a chapter, but it was a one-page chapter. It's like, hey, we're on a car. We should jump out of this bitch. Okay. I'm going to finish this drink so I don't feel bad.
I slapped the wall with both hands and spun away from it. I'm sick of mysteries, I wailed. I'm sick of being scared, and I'm sick of werewolves and monsters, and I'm never going to another scary movie as long as I live.
Your father can explain it all. He's like Clarissa,
Marty said softly, shaking his head. I'm sure he can. I don't want him to explain it, I cried. I just want to get away from here. Keeping close together, we made our way around the side of the castle. I could hear strange animal howls behind us, and a frightening cackle cut through the air somewhere above our heads. I ignored all the sounds. I don't want to think about whether they were being made by real monsters or fakes. I didn't want to think about the frightening creatures we had run into, or the close calls Marty and I had had. I didn't want to think.
Maybe the witch that was making the cackling sound just got a mount because they reached like level 60 in World of Warcraft. By the way, remember when I announced I started playing World of Warcraft? I feel like I should announce I quit a while ago. I don't like it. It's just like, do this. It's not satisfying.
I mean, GTA is satisfying because I can go to a place that I've been to in real life and murder people. That's enjoyable. And the story's fun. It's all fun. I don't like that. Anyway, isn't there new Mario Kart tracks? I should start doing those. I already paid for them.
At the back of the castle, the road reappeared again. I hope we're going in the right direction, I murmured, following it as it curved into the hill.
Me too, Marty replied in a tiny voice.
We picked up our pace, walking quickly in the middle of the road. We tried not to pay attention to the sharp animal calls, the shrill cries, the howls and the moans that seemed to follow us everywhere. The road sloped uphill. Marty and I leaned forward as we climbed. The frightening cries and howls followed us up the hill. As we neared the top, I saw several low buildings. Yes, I cried. Marty, look! We must be heading back to the main platform. I started jogging toward the buildings. Marty trotted close behind.
I genuinely do feel bad about skipping that chapter, apparently. I'm sorry. I'm not going to go back to it. I don't feel that bad, you know, like to fix the podcast errors, but I do feel bad, I'm saying. That's all. It was short. I promise you, it was only one page, but still. They were essentially, I think, just planning to leave. You want me to skim it right now?
Nah, I don't want to. We both stopped when we realized we were there. Where we were. Back on Shock Street. Somehow, we had made a circle, past the old houses and small shops. The Shock Street Cemetery came into view. Staring at the fence, I remembered the green hands poking up from the ground, the green shoulders, the green faces, the hands pulling us down. My whole body shuddered as Dune pet his cat. I don't want to be here. I never wanted to see this terrifying street again, but I couldn't turn away from the cemetery. As I stared at the old gravestones from across the street, I saw something move. A wisp of gray, like a tiny cloud. Remember, they kept seeing the wisp of gray at the cemetery before? It doesn't matter. It rose up between two crooked old stones, floated silently into the air, and then another puff of gray lifted off the ground, and another, like someone was getting a heck of 420'd up in that cemetery. I glimpsed Marty. He stood beside me, hands pressed against his waist, staring hard. He saw them too. The gray puff suddenly rose suddenly, like snowballs, or cotton, or just like dank-ass weed smoke. Dozens of them, floating up from the graves, floating over the cemetery and out over the street, floating above Marty and me, hovering so low.
How low, Scarlet? So low I can't hear you.
A tiki room joke. I'm gonna hold you while I record. Do you mind, Mimi? And then we stared up at them. They started to grow, to inflate like gray balloons.
99 the gray balloons.
I got my cat right here. I wonder if she'll make a sound at the mic. I'd enjoy that. And I saw faces inside them, dark faces, etched in shadow, like the man on the moon. The faces scowled at us.
Are you scared? Are you scared of the goosebumps? I'm going to keep reading, okay? Yes, not no. All right, fine.
It scowled at us, old faces, lined and creased, eyes narrowed to dark slits, frowning faces, sneering faces inside the billowing white puffs. I grabbed Marty's shoulder. I wanted to run, to get away, to get out from under them, but like smoke. I already pointed that out, R.L. Stein. It's like heck of weed smoke. Weed's obviously the coolest thing you can smoke. The wisps of mist with their evil faces swirled down, swirled around us, trapped us inside. The faces, the ugly, scowling faces spinning around us, spinning faster, faster, holding us in the swirling, choking mist.
Chapter 25.
I'm now drinking a black beer stout that I got at the Korean market, because of the Korean market they sell beers in 64 ounce bottles rather than this typical 40 ounce pussy bottle. And this one is the stout one, which I've had before, but $3.99 for 64 ounces, come on. I pressed my hands over my eyes, trying to shut them out. I froze in total panic. I couldn't think. I couldn't breathe. I could hear the shrill rush of wind as the ghostly clouds swirled around us. And then I heard a man's voice shouting over the wind. Cut! Print that one. Good scene, everyone. I lowered my hands slowly and opened my eyes. I let out my breath in a long whoosh. A man came striding up to Marty and me. He wore jeans and a gray sweatshirt under a brown leather jacket. He had a blue and white Dodgers cap sideways on his head. A blonde ponytail tumbled from underneath it. Ew. A Dodgers hat with a pony? Oh, me and that guy can't hang. Not that I even care a lot about the Padres nor their rivalry with the Dodgers. I just don't like LA, and I don't like ponytails under hats. He carried a clipboard in one hand. He had a silver whistle around his neck. He smiled at Marty and me and flashed us a thumbs up. Hey, what's up, guys? I'm Russ Denver. Hey, Annie's name Russ. Good job. You guys looked really scared. Huh? I cried. My mouth dropped open. We were really scared. I'm glad to see a real live human, Marty cried. This tour, it's totally fucked up, I shrieked. The creatures, they're alive. They tried to hurt us. They really did. It wasn't any fun. It wasn't like a ride. The words spilled out of me in a rush. It was really gross. The werewolves snapped at us and chased us up a wall, Marty exclaimed. The two of us started talking at once, telling this guy, Denver, all of the frightening things that had happened to us on the tour. Whoa, whoa! A smile crossed his handsome face. How'd they know I was smiling? Just kidding. I am handsome, though. Let's just be honest. He raised his clipboard as if to make a shield in front of shield himself from us. It's all special effects, guys. Didn't they explain to you we are making a movie here? They were filming your reactions? No. No one explained that, Mr. Denver, I replied angrily. My dad brought us here. He designed the studio tour, and he told us we were the first to try it out. But he didn't tell us about any movie being filmed. I really think... I felt Marty's hand on my shoulder. I knew Marty was trying to calm me down, but I didn't want to be calmed down. I was really angry. Mr. Denver turned back to a group of crew members behind him in the street. Take 30, guys. Let's break for dinner.
That's showbiz talk for, hey, how about a 30-minute break so we can all have some yum-yums in our tum-tum?
Just letting you in on the showbiz talk. No big deal. They moved away, talking among themselves. I thought it was amongst... That's just the classy way of doing it. Me and R.L. Stein, we don't roll like that. Mr. Denver turned back to us. Your father should have explained to you.
It's okay, really, Marty interrupted. We just got a little scared. All the creatures seemed so real, and we didn't see any other people anywhere. You're the first real peace person we've seen all afternoon.
My dad must be really worried, I told the movie director as Dune got water rather than beer.
He said he'd be waiting for us at the main platform. Can you tell us how to get there?
No problem, Mr. Denver replied.
See that big house? That's where... See that big house there with the open door?
He pointed with his clipboard. Marty and I stared at the house across the street. A narrow path led up to the house. A pale yellow light shone inside the open front door.
That's Chakro's House of Shocks, the director explained.
Go right in that door and straight through the house.
But won't we get shocked in there?
Marty demanded.
In the movie, anyone that goes into Chakro's house gets jolted with 20 million volts of electricity.
That's just a movie, Mr. Denver replied.
The house is just a set. It's perfectly safe. Go through the house, then out the back, and you will see the main building on the other side of the street. You can't miss it.
Thank you,
Marty and I called out at once. Marty turned and started running full speed toward the house. I turned back to Mr. Denver. I'm sorry for yelling before, I told him.
I was just so scared, and I thought... I gasped.
Mr. Denver had turned away, and I saw the long power cord. The power cord that was plugged into his back.
He wasn't a real human. He wasn't a movie director. He was some kind of robot, like the old Duracell commercials.
He was fake, like all the others. He was lying to us. Lying! I turned and cut my hands around my mouth. I started to run, frantically calling after Marty. Don't go in there, Marty. Stop. Don't go in that house. Too late. Marty was already running through the door.
Chapter 26.
Marty, wait, stop! I shouted as I ran. I had to stop him. The director was a fake. I knew he wasn't telling the truth. Only real people tell the truth. That's why it's called keeping it real, idiots. Marty, please! My bare feet pounded the hard pavement. I plunged up the path as Marty trotted into the doorway. Stop! I flew to the doorway, reached out both hands, made a wild dive to tackle him, and missed. I skidded across the walk on my stomach. As soon as Marty entered the house, I saw the flash of white light. I heard a loud buzz, then the sharp crackle of electricity.
That's my electricity sound, and it's also my communicating with dolphins sound.
The room exploded in a flash of lightning, so bright I had to shield my eyes. When I opened them, I saw Marty sprawled, face down on the floor. No! I let out a terrified wail. Scrambling to my feet, I dove into the house. Would I get shocked too? I didn't give a shit. I had to get to Marty. I had to help him out of there. Marty! Marty! I screamed his name again and again, and he didn't move. Marty, please! I grabbed his shoulders and started to shake him. Wake up! Marty! Grab brush, put a little makeup! Marty! Head scars and fade away the shake up! Marty, snap out of it, Marty. He didn't open his eyes. I felt a sudden chill. A dark shadow slid over me, and I realized I wasn't alone in the house.
I'm just going to keep going, but I'm going to have some beer first.
Chapter 27. I spun around with a gasp. Was it Chakro? Some other scary creature? A tall figure leaned over me. I squinted into the darkness, struggling to see his face. Dad? I cried as he came into focus. Dad, oh shit, I'm glad to see you. Aaron, what are you doing here? He asked in a low voice. It's Marty, I stammered. You've got to help him, Dad. He's been shocked and he... Dad leaned closer. Behind his sunglasses, his brown eyes were cold. His face set in a troubled frown. Do something, Dad, I pleaded. Marty is hurt. He isn't moving. He won't open his eyes. The studio tour is awful, Dad. Something is wrong. Something is terribly wrong. Okay, look, clearly the dad worked a long time on this. You don't have to say it's awful. Okay, that's offensive and rude. He didn't reply. He leaned closer, and his face came into the soft light. I saw that he wasn't my father. Who are you? I shrieked. You're not my dad. Why are you helping me? Why aren't you helping Marty? Do something, please. Where's my dad? Where is he? Who are you? Help me. Somebody help me. Arr, help. Arr, dad.
I'm reading it as well as I can. Okay, so stop it. That's how it goes. I'm going to keep going. Final chapter. All right, I'm going to keep drinking this beer, too.
Chapter number 28. Mr. Wright stood staring down at Aaron and Marty. He shook his head unhappily. He shut his eyes and let out a long sigh. Jared Curtis, one of the studio engineers, came running into the House of Shocks. Mr. Wright, what happened to your two kid robots? He demanded. Oh my god, the two kids that we were following along with were robots to begin with. Fuck! That shit crazy, RL's time. You crazy.
That's why the robot was their was the girl's dad, but why wasn't the other kid thinking that was his dad? Why weren't they siblings? That would make more sense.
Oh well. Mr. Wright sighed again. Programming problems, he muttered. He pointed to the Aaron robot, frozen in place on her knees beside the Marty robot. I had to shut the girl off. Her memory chip must be bad. The Aaron robot was supposed to think of me as her father, but just now she didn't recognize me. And what about the Marty robot?
Jared asked.
It's totally down, Marty replied. I think the electrical system shorted out.
That was the clicky-clicky sound like dolphins.
What a shame, Jared said, bending to roll the Marty robot over. He pulled up the shirt and fiddled with some dials on the back. Hey, Mr. Wright. It was a great idea to make robot kids to test the park. I think we can fix them. Jared opened up a panel on Marty's back and squinted at the red and green wires. All the other creatures and monsters and robots worked perfectly, not a single bug. I should have known there was a problem yesterday, Mr. Wright said. We were in my office. The Aaron robot asked about her mother. I built her. She doesn't have a mother.
Mr. Wright tossed up his hands. Oh, well, no problem. We'll reprogram these two. Put in new chips.
Maybe the reason I was eating chips on an episode for the first time ever was because I knew this ending was coming. And maybe I put that much effort into planning these, and I'm not just a gluttonous douchebag. Anyway, we'll reprogram these two, put in new chips. They'll be good as new in no time. Then we'll try them out again on the Shocker Studio tour before we open the park to real kids. He took the Marty robot from Jared and slung it over his shoulder. Then he picked up the Aaron robot. He tossed it over his other shoulder. Then, humming to himself, he carried them to the engineering building. The end.
Those kids was robots all along! Damn!
Honestly, I like that ending. Normally I just complain about them, but I didn't see that coming, you know? I thought the dad was a robot, everyone was a robot. I didn't realize the kids were robots. They have thoughts and feelings and, like, references and stuff. It was good. This is a good book, R.L. Stein. Let me write you a letter. Dear R.L. Stein, I'm Dune. Please don't track me down. I don't think I'm doing anything too illegal by recording these, but, you know, it's better safe than sorry. The point is, that was a cool ending. Yeah, I'll try to get these up. Like I said, hit me up about those buttons. Just email me at DuneReadsGoosebumps. Don't message me on Facebook or Twitter or anywhere, because, I appreciate it, and I'll get back to you, but the fact of the matter is that, something. What is my brain trying to get at? Oh, that I'd like to organize it so to make sure that I don't get any buttons out, hence using the Gmail as the only place I'd like to do that. That being said, if you're listening to this years from now, fuck off. You know, like, I probably don't have buttons left. It's years from now. What if I'm dead now? Not now. Well, what if I am dead now? Oh, God, this is a lot to think about. I'm Dune. This is Dune Reads Goosebumps. I may or may not be dead. I'm gonna drink.
Stay spooky, bitches. Yeah, spooky bitches. Wow.